This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here looking out over at Pearl Harbor on the way in. A big rain squall coming, and so going to make things look a little wet and mild for us today, and muggy, but it's beautiful. Look like heaven, as it always does, if you know what I mean. Anyway, we got several topics today we're going to chat about, and one of them is the rail. That's why I played that song there. And I have Mr. Tom Berg, former city councilman, in the office here and in the studio with me. And we're going to be talking about rail and some of the things behind the scene. As you know, there was a number of articles or comments this weekend, last week, about the overrun, the cost overrun, and what have you. And we knew that. I mean, everyone knew that. But hopefully, in this discussion, we can come up with some ideas as to what provoke or give certain politicians the desire, the strength to... Now, you would think there's Mufi Hanneman who's running for governor. Now, a lot of these activities that we see today result from his picking and choosing and appointing and finagling. So will he be kind enough to just step out of the arena and just say it's a waste of money, time, and the people's interest? Because I don't know how you can campaign against failure that unfolds daily in the eyes of the public that you have presented. And sometimes we must tell ourselves, you know, enough is enough, and maybe the people are sick and tired of it, and if not, they will be by at the end of the day when they hear all of the revelations. And so this guy Grabowskis, and you have Bundas and people of that nature, and they're talking about the recent budget that was reported in Star Advertiser. So that brings a lot of questions. So I thought I would talk about the rail today and ask that many of you call in. And you know, we have an election coming up in November. And I think that we can easily decide based on the failures that presenting themselves at our doorstep now. And another thing we're going to talk about is that now you know we voted Neil Abercrombie out. We did a good job at that. Bingo. Bravo. Hallelujah. Whatever. But still within our business, the people's business, there's a one remaining that is quite obvious, and then that is Kurt Caldwell. Kurt Caldwell has bestowed on himself second dictator to the state, the city and county of Honolulu. And did you know, and maybe some of you did or saw it, that Kurt Caldwell, under his administration, we just lost a hippopotamus. We had two hippopotamuses at the Honolulu Zoo. And they packaged it up and sent the public a little teaser after, I'm told, being caught with the pants down. They didn't disclose it openly to the public. And this hippo named Rosie was found dead after workers returned that were contracting. And we're going to talk about that in detail, but what I want to share with you is that the strategy and if you want to know what a man is about and his character, just step back and let him behave the way he behaved. And this chasing of the homeless, all of these laws that he Caldwell wanted to invoke and present and beat the people up, seize their properties, this hardship that he has, the homeless people, that's just an indicator. It's the stripes of this tiger and the spots of this leopard called Kurt Caldwell. This is no fluke. It is something that Kurt Caldwell, we'd better watch him. Because, as we say, we just showed the other dictator the door there where he's given away everything to Hughes Corporation, Ho'opili, the works, PLDC, HCDA, in the form of Neil Abercrombie. And so we should constantly remind ourselves that we can do it, and we've been successful, and we had cause to just dump him. Kurt Caldwell, and let me just tell you, I've had sources. I came about this matter on the hippopotamus, the death of it, through sources having nothing to do with me, or even knowing that I had an interest, so there was no need to lie about it or anything. This was a fourth-party conversation that I picked up, and I had seen just a casual mention on the news that this hippopotamus was. But this hippopotamus died as a result of something. It was healthy. And so I went back and checked around. The original information was that workers working for a company, and these are just statements that I had received. I have no facts other than a good source. And I inquired of the city and county of Honolulu. And boy, did I get the runaround, and did I still get the runaround. And am I still getting it? But you know me. I'll give you the opportunity to speak the truth. Well, you should have spoken the truth anyway up front. You should have been transparent. It's no big deal in that things go wrong. But when they go wrong, here's the problem. Let the people know. It's transparency. It's our business. It's not his business to conceal and contrive it because something. But I think this came on the heels of the other administrative problems they were having with personnel at the zoo and what have you, and the failure of certain things. So here we go. There were three bids that I received off. I look at the Division of Purchasing. And the party that won the first, the bid, and this was confirmed by the sitting count of Honolulu Purchasing, and that is Global Specialty Contractors, Inc. Now, I'm told initially that this company was working there and its employees returned. Now, I don't have all the facts, but I must tell you, I did attempt to ask the mayor, and let me just share with you how I approach this, and I know two things. In talking to Global Specialty Contractors, a gentleman that didn't wish to reveal his name, but I was transferred to him as a result of me calling that company, and he confirmed that there was an order to stop work, and that he confirmed that they were doing the work. So I went further, and I wrote the mayor on the 11th of this month, and Aloha Mayor Caldwell, I respectfully submit this letter asking your assistance in obtaining answers to questions I have regarding allegations that zoo staff actions or inactions may have contributed to the recent death of, quote, Rosie, end quote, the hippopotamus, one of two female hippopotamuses kept at the Honolulu Zoo. And this is key now. Is there any truth to the allegations that zoo staff failed to contain hippos, the hippos in a pond that was to temporarily house them overnight, instead of placing the hippos in the designated pond? Now, this is my letter now, and I'm asking him to simply let me know, is there any truth? And if not, tell me the facts. Well, I have gotten the runaround. Now, if you think that circus that comes to town has that merry-go-round, they need to tap into Kurt Caldwell's administration, and they will know what the Ferris wheel really is. They will know what a merry-go-round really is. This guy is dictator extraordinaire. And he has people that work for him. They don't believe they work for the people anymore. They don't believe they have to tell the truth anymore. They don't believe they have to respect the public anymore. And I since learned that the information that I had sought, other media sources had inquired, and they were very careful and kind to the media sources after I now have written them. And the lame excuse was, well, you asked for some documents. You didn't just ask questions. Well, then, if you're answering questions for other media sources on the same subject, then if my questions are similar, if you got my questions first, wouldn't it be just nice of you to just send me the same answers that you sent to other media? But instead, you see, Caldwell, for whatever reason, get to pick and choose which media he will relate to. I guess the bigger your name, the bigger the game. But I'm here to remind you that this gentleman, Kurt Caldwell, this is no piddly matter, peas and pod. This is big bucks. Global Specialty basic bid was $2,880,000 for the rehabilitation or refurbishing of the filtration system for the hippopotamuses. Another bid was for $2,896,000. And then Josh Glover did $5,679,000. Now, there's some landscaping, some other matters involved in here. So, again, I got to tell you something. I love animals, and I am an animal, and I just believe I'm part of the ecosystem and have great respect for that. I don't believe I have dominion over these, and I don't believe that I can read the minds of a hippopotamus or even a snail. But you must understand something. The information that I got originally was it was the actions or inactions of the zoo staff that contributed to the death of this animal by leaving it in a pen, a dry pen, rather than putting it in a pond. Because, you see, hippopotamuses have problems. Not problems. They've evolved where their sweat glands are, really don't function like as efficiently as, or some of them are just simply defunct. Because they are aquatic animals. And so they can get easily sunburned and stressed out and standing there with the weight. They need to rest. Well, what we originally received was this information that the workers failed to communicate with the zoo staff. Now, this is all that I'm getting secondhand. I've politely and respectfully written the mayor, and he didn't bother, and they gave me the jerk around. And so here's the way I react to jerk arounds. And if I'm inaccurate in my presentation or representation, I'm not drawing conclusion. I don't know why the animal died. But I've asked the mayor, and he has just flat out ignored me. And I've asked Jesse Broder Van Dyke. See, he surrounds himself with all of these little gatekeepers. And John, there's another gentleman who swore to me that they were busy trying to get accuracy before they answered me. But they're already answering other media sources. And then while telling me that, we want to be accurate before we respond to you, and you ask for documents. I don't know if we answered anybody else. This is a second party now. John Gruenstein, who works for the mayor. He swore to me that Jesse Van Dyke would not have known my questions. But I understand not only did Jesse Van Dyke, Broder Van Dyke, know my questions, he was busy campaigning against the very specific questions I had raised, specifically me, with other media sources. So not only are they dictators, they are liars and will lie to me personally as if I'm a non-existing entity. This is consistent with, I felt like I was in the same category of the people that were being violated there on the streets of Kakaako, the children, the homeless, the people that are sick. And my conclusion is that while it may be a great thing to have honored Rosie the hippo and worry about Louise the hippo that remains and worry about her grievance. Now, they say they put this, I'm told, they put this work order, this nearly $3 million project on hold since July 18th. And you can see some of the pictures at carolcox.com if you want to see Louise the hippo and see the construction site sitting at a standstill. But I'm told that this matter was put on hold. How is it that you would put it on hold because you want to give, and this is, I haven't seen it, talk to them firsthand, but I asked Gruenstein about the rumors, and I wrote Jesse Van Dyke, Broder Van Dyke, and asked, is it true that you folks put the work on hold, a $3 million on hold, project on hold, because you wanted to give the remaining hippopotamus time to grieve? Now, I love animals, folks, and I'll cry with them, and I'll go out and fight for them, and I'll die for them. But what is the grieving period of a hippopotamus? In fact, what is the grieving period of a giraffe? Or what is the grieving period of an elephant or a snail? See, this is when you know a dictator is in the halls running our city government, and in turn, we have to. If you're willing to put some nonsense like that, I know you could isolate that animal and let it grieve until eternity. But the people's business of just taking a $3 million project and putting it on hold, I'm sorry. This becomes, he reminds me of Idi Amin and some of those other guys in African government where they spin big and anybody steps in their way, or many other governments. This is what we're dealing with. To set a $3 million project and then to say, I've asked for the necropsy, by the way. Well, I'm told they can't conclude why I died. They know why I died. But anyway, we'll talk more on that, and I'm going to answer one call. We're not going to go off subject, and Tom Berg is in the house here now and got his camera set up, and we're ready to rock and roll. And please join us, 524-1080 on the dial, on the radio, on the phone. And you can get us also on the Internet, and we'll just let this go for – we're going to also talk about GMO. And the reason I want to share with you on GMO today, I love the subject, but I'm very careful. But let's step back for a minute, and then I'll shut up. You notice that the liberals tell us that GMO, we must do this and do that. And Hawaii is pretty much a liberal state, and as we vote. And the liberals tell us, look at the conservatives. The conservatives don't believe in global warming. But apparently, the liberal party is just as head in the sand on GMO, because the liberals in this state have yet to stand up and say with a straight voice and a strong voice the basic factor or basic practice of labeling. Now, we don't talk about the other things, but labeling. Neil Abercrombie, the extraordinary liberal, in his administration refused to give old inspection reports that were conducted by the state health department to myself, and basically told me it would be an extremely high amount of money to pay to look at something that is being eaten by silverfish. So there's this dilemma, you see, and watch out about these liberals and the Democrats, and I always like to say, I pride myself, I'm a Mississippi Democrat, and I'm just that. I was forced in. They held a gun to my head and told me, you're going to be Baptist and Democrat. I don't give a damn what else you be in life. You're going to be those two things. So I've stuck with that. But the reality is, we need to wake up and ask ourselves, these conservation groups and all those people, and we're going to get into this too, talking about it with Tom, where are they pounding the table and demanding that the liberal Democrat step up to the plate and be steadfast and pass laws and legislation on GMO? So anyway, I'm going to get off and answer one call, and we'll do that. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, being the liberal Democrat, I mean, you know, there's a law.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sign on my front lawn that says that's where she is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I am all in favor of doing away with the GMOs, whatever we need to do. However, some of the legislators that were reelected, if you look at who they took money from to get reelected, and Senator, I'm going to call his name, Senator Nishihara, was the chair of the Agriculture Committee.
Mm-hmm.
All of the bills that came up for doing something about GMO did not get out of his committee, and if you go to the campaign spending, as I know you will, you look to see who he got money from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all of those five corporations that make this stuff. That's where the stop is. And you're right. The rest of us, as liberal Democrats, don't do the homework, don't know what's going on. And, you know, it's not enough to just protest. You really have to know who's doing what. And on Kauai, some of the people that took a lot of GMO money got reelected. So there's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, I was in receipt of some information, and then Tom Berg and I have talked. By the way, let me just welcome him now because I...
Tell Tom I said hello.
No, you can tell him. He's right here.
Hello back at you.
Marsha Joyner.
I know her. She's a wonderful woman.
And so we were talking about Stanley Chang, flagship of the Democrat Party. Poster child, good-looking guy, very intelligent. But there are some questions that Tom and I have. We share the same questions, is that he made great promises and about GMO, and he has the capacity in his next 4 months to do it, but should have done something before. But on that note, I'll introduce Tom. Go ahead, Tom, and thank you for joining us and coming into the studio.
You know, everybody does know, thank you, Carol, that the right to know, your body doesn't digest D's or R's or any other political party or persuasion. And so we can't even separate fresh bread from the real McCoy here on the shelves, so people don't know they're getting previously frozen bread or the labeling that's going on here. It's much, much deeper than just GMOs. The best testimony, Carol, that I can recall on GMOs came from a very young individual. I don't know how old he was. I think he was in the fourth grade, and he said, in my textbook, it says the role of an elected official is to protect the people and respond to make sure that their health and safety is advanced at all cost. We need to explore that. And for some reason, Marsha, you nailed it. On the Senate side this past legislative session, you can't just blame Ishihara because they made it a trifecta. They put it in consumer protection, health, and ag all in one committee hearing room so that they could diffuse the blame. But you're right on the money. You got to track it, and that tells the story here.
What is it with this political arena that we can't tell our own to get it right or else, but we can reach across the aisle and bitch and moan about everything? About why is it that way when if we believe that GMO is bad for you, and we know that to be the case, as they represent it, then why are they allowing their own representative, the people that they support, cakewalk around this subject? Why isn't Stanley Chang being people nail his feet down to the floor and says, Mr. Chang, the
called the Hawaii State Association of Counties Legislative Package, and we'll call it HSAC for sure.
HSAC. Why isn't he actively and aggressively pursuing that now? I have introduced, he promised in his campaign that he would do it as Congress.
Well, since he is my council person, I live in his district.
Well, why you let him operate this way?
Wait a minute, let me tell you. If this was the only thing, the only issue that he was not present on,
mm-hmm.
I would really say, but there were so many things that he just missed. I don't know. I think the reason that he left last year, well, he didn't leave the city council, but he started campaigning a year ago, was that he was in over his head in this job. People think city council, oh, it's no big deal. That is the hardest job in all of government. And I don't think he took it seriously when he ran for it. And then once he was in it, you notice he got out. He said, I'm out. So I don't think that it was just the GMOs. I think it was the job, period.
Well, this is what I would offer to that, not to counter your comments. I would just add to it and say that, yeah, we're right. We don't know the thousands of things that he didn't grasp. So therefore, we would only speculate. But what we can grasp and see solid in hand is that he spoke specifically to GMOs. He promised in campaigns. And what has he done? It's that simple. Forget all the other things, whether he liked to put whatever. This is one we can clearly rally around and say, he did say he would. Did he? And we don't need to introduce the other things. This is clear enough.
Well, personally, I don't think he even understood what the word means until people started asking while he was on the campaign trail about that. Because, you know, the anti-GMO people are very vocal. And when they started asking questions, then it's easy to say, when I get to Congress, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I had to tell him at one coffee hour, I said, wait a minute. At Congress, you all, the congressional people, have done nothing. Monsanto and the Food and Drug Administration are one and the same. How do you think you're going to get anything done? And there was this blank look on his face because he did not at that point. And then there were so many people asking about GMOs that he had to say something.
Okay. He was scared into
Yes.
May I interject some commentary on this, some observation? All nine council members in the HSAC package, the last time GMOs were entertained was on January 9th, 2013. That's the last time the Honolulu City Council deliberated on the subject matter. And the vote was 9-0 to basically stomp on the rest of the other three counties in the state. Maui, Kauai, and the Big Island all said, we want labeling in this ASAC package. And Honolulu, led by Councilmember Chang, made sure he blocked it. He blocked it in 2011 and 2012. But what I want to get at is that now we all have an opportunity for a new beginning, and we get educated. I'm hoping that later today people who are pro-rail will join in getting this back on the ballot, and we'll discuss that later. And the point being is that since Stanley Chang was endorsed by the very folks fighting to make sure we have the right to know, the folks that are pushing GMO labeling, they endorsed Stanley Chang for Congress. Now, from what I understand, it was based on because he now wants home rule. He's recognized, I can't speak for him, but that he wants the counties at the local level to have that home rule capability to weigh in on the chemical pesticide usage. And then furthermore, at the state level, that if the federal government is going to continue to kick the can, that the state of Hawaii initiate on its own accord, and here locally, we initiate labeling like the state of Vermont. So with that said, Carol Cox brought up earlier the comment that right now as we speak, the HSAC legislative package is being deliberated on. It will be voted on. There will be public hearings, two of them, I believe, since it's a resolution. And if we all stay astute, will Stanley Chang follow up? And because since all nine Honolulu City Council members last go around voted to squash any labeling effort, we now have been apprised via TV commercials in the congressional run and the endorsement by the biotech folks that Stanley Chang's our man. He's the leader. He's the only one right now. The state legislature is not in session. This is it. This guy could champion GMO labeling. The counties would be unified the first time in many years, actually first time ever, that an HSAC package would have this GMO issue inclusive to bring to the state legislative body. And I think we should rally around Stanley Chang. I think you, Marcia, and others should say, hey, we want to work with you. Thank you for your revelation that you've experienced in your campaign, and bring it on, Stanley. Let's see how you move.
I can do that.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
Or call him and invite him to call in on the show. I've been searching yesterday for some while trying to get a direct number to him, but I guess I've
I don't have a direct number either.
But anyway, this is something that was, and maybe Tom, you shared this with me, and I'm looking at a document, www.gmofreeusa.org, and the facebook.com, gmofreeusa. And this is a chart that says, these Hawaiian politicians support GMO labeling and or pesticide disclosure restriction. And here are some of the people that Edwin Miranda, Leilani, Bronson Crilly, District 4, Richard Cragen, Nicole Lowen, Kaniela, Ying, Melly Carroll, Dylan Hooser, Nathaniel Kenny, Takahashi Ohana, Maui County, the mayor, Tamron Palton. These are people that were running. With this kind of list, J. Kalani English, Amato, Carl Middleton from Maui and those areas, what? Is this a bright future for GMO? Are we going to get anywhere? Or
I'm asking folks to clarify and take the lead on this, all of us, that we discern between someone like at a federal level, for instance, Councilmember Anderson, Councilmember Joey Manahan, and I believe many others that were running in that race, said, I'm for labeling at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't get those endorsements. They took the same position, apparently, as Stanley Chang. But here's my point, is that the people should know if someone's out there to say, I want labeling at the federal level, knowing it's one big kick the can, and they'll never be put on the spot. And if they are, they'll get buried somewhere. I hope that it's not that way. But what we can do then is we should discern. So someone at the federal level who says, I'm for labeling, but they're not at the state level, like Councilmember Anderson, Monahan, Espero, the gang, okay, Rooney Martin. They've all said, we support labeling only at the federal level. It doesn't belong in deliberations at a state level. Now, these lobbyist groups that Carol was reading off, some of these endorsements, many of those folks don't want labeling at the state level, don't want labeling at the county level, don't want home rule. They're saying, I support GMO labeling at the federal level. As far as I'm concerned, they should not get an endorsement. I want the person who says, I support labeling your right to know, right here at home, right now, regardless of what the federal government does. We have state rights. Let's bring it on. Let's have that blossom this legislative session so we can get laws on the books so people will know that they have the ability to know what they're eating.
You know, I look at this when I hear, don't believe local politicians saying, I don't believe we should have labeling, require labeling locally. I believe federally. And then I'm left with emptiness and feel like I'm being cheated because they are representation on a local level. They also remind us many times the federal government should stay out of our business. Mm-hmm. Yet, politicians or candidates were eager. So where did this clearly is a playbook, a play from the playbook that someone gave them because they all sing it in unison. Where did it originally, who started singing this stupid song that, though I'm a local state representative or a city representative, I don't believe we should enact any laws within my power. We should defer to the federal government. Where did that come from? Obviously...
Well, I don't know where it started, but my experience of watching during the campaign, going to all these different events and having this subject come up time and time again, my experience was how little they know about the issue, about the problems of... Carol, you know, I'm writing a book about the misadventures of the bees in the land of the GMO, and it's about the dying bees in Kauai. Only, I would say, of all of the seven dwarfs, all those guys running for the city, for the Congress, only one understood the poisons of Roundup. Only one really had a sense of what this was about. So the easy answer then becomes, because I don't know, I parrot all these other people and say, yeah, let the feds do it. Because they didn't know. That's my experience.
You say the feds, but that means even to get an action, if it was passed by the feds, there do we see the demonstration of a lackadaisical enforcement or no enforcement when you got a... Just on... land issues, on pollution issues with the EPA, when you have, in fact, underrepresentation, the massive military activities, massive industrial activities throughout the Pacific, and yet we are underserved by the EPA. We're underserved by other federal agencies. And then we want to yet hand another state concern to the federal government? That's just BS in what it is.
Of course it is.
Well, they're just passing the buck and they're being...
This
is that slick-rigged Democrat that this, I would love to find who slipped them the play to say, when you run out there at the 10-yard line, this is what you say.
I know.
You see, this is what's happening.
I'm agreeing because I watched the same, you know, for all these months of campaigning. I watched them and them parrot the same answer, knowing full well they didn't know what the hell they were talking about. So, and, you know, I'm not here to defend any of them. I'm just...
Well, no, you don't have to...
This is my experience of them, this campaigning.
On this show, you had no defense. It's just that facts will speak for themselves, and if we can reflect the facts and say what is really the truth, we'd never have to justify if it's true or factual or defending them. It's just what it is. I go into the store now, and my eyes get watery because little old me, without any help from the... legislators and all of that political hogwash, I was able to make big companies put on labels that their fish that they're selling is previously frozen and treated with carbon monoxide, and you can't lie to us. And what's this big runaround? See, this is the Democratic lie. The Republicans, they don't believe in global warming. Can you believe that? They got their heads in the sand. Well, apparently the liberals have their head somewhere else, because you can't be pointing the finger and calling them, telling them that they're living in a cave when it comes to global warming. But yet with GMOs, innocent people can't pick up a packet label and know what they're eating.
Right. That's true. Well, you know, it's the same issue, not the same issue, but the same thing that we went through, if you remember, since 1964, getting labels on cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Same huge corporations that fought tooth and nail about that. Same, it looks the same to me.
Marcia, if I can interrupt you, I'm sorry about that, but, you know, I challenged all the GMO folks at the city council. We had some very good exchanges. One of them in particular was the comment by a scientist who says, you don't have the right to know because GMO is not an additive. And that really says it all. And if we want to think about that a little bit more when Carol orchestrates his shows week after week, think about that as a statement that GMO is not an additive, therefore the definition, and if you guys are following this, is they want it, as you know, at the federal level, FDA, when they say the word natural and natural on a product, it is not natural. And now that word natural ingredients can contain subject matter in it of which is not natural. We, the people, are going to have to be the ones to make sure that... we correct this.
Well, and there are certain pesticides, I can't pronounce the word, that they use, and once they use it, the plant ingests it, mm-hmm. So now it becomes a part of the plant.
Neonicotinoids, something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And so, no, it is not an additive once you begin the process of packaging it. It's not...
Do you think all the bees have to die off first before government will react?
Well, according to what I've read, if the bees die off, mankind has 4 to 7 years left. That's scary.
And the politician kind has forever. But let me digress a bit. And if you'd like to call in, 524-1080 is the number. Someone called in early. We didn't get to you. So if you, and we're going to have Tom here in the next hour as well, talking about the rail and whatever. But let me just lay out. You heard me mention the fish, and now that you can walk in the store and you can see that the fish, they were importing fish and labeling it as one type of fish and species. And I filed a lawsuit. I got no money. I got nothing. It was on the mercy and the good givings of an attorney who volunteered their time to do this. I had an idea, and they had the ability. We got those companies to stop falsifying their labels and the naming of fish, and we also forced them an agreement. And no, there was no, someone said I must have made a lot of money from that. No, I lost a lot of money that I didn't have. But anyway, that's my problem. But again, we're going to, when I hear the legislators local here saying, I would rather see it in the federal. Okay, let me just tell you, the fish that comes in is inspected. There are houses that were approved by NOAA scientists that conducts inspection of these foreign facilities that produce carbon monoxide fish, and they get rejected time and time again by the tens of loads, thousands and thousands of pounds. And all that those companies need to do is have NOAA to go, and some of them, they didn't even go and inspect their facilities. They just gave them a certificate that they were clean because they paid $10,000, and NOAA authorities, and I have the documentation, and I've spoken about it on the show and laid it out. So when I hear a liberal Democrat saying, oh, yeah, well, because we don't know what the Republicans think on this. I don't know if they do Republicans know anything about GMO, or do they care, or is it or is it too many alphabets? I don't know. Really, I mean, I know they don't think global warming is an issue, but then I also know that Barack Obama, the president, and all of the people in the Democratic Party in Hawaii don't believe in non-GMO products. They just beat the bush and send money and give us some money, and I can talk. But in reality, I know Gary Hoosier, if he could put it in tomorrow, he would. I would try and separate some of the good people, but some of these young liberal Democratic politicians, they're stroking us, man.
Carol and Marcia, it goes beyond that. It goes to decriminalization of marijuana. It goes to medical marijuana dispensaries. It goes on to the Democrat Party of Oahu at its convention saying they want to legalize it. So, you know, we can't even open up a dispensary for the 15,000 people afflicted with epilepsy in our state. And when you're talking about who's going to champion what, I think that the more people that listen to Carol Cox and his radio program and people like Marcia who call in, I think we're going to get to the bottom of this and have a very successful general and bring it on in 2016, because I think there is a movement. GMO has wakened up a lot of folks, and will the Democrat Party take heed in 2014 and beyond? I actually do think so, and I'm hopeful.
Well, let me get this. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Real quick.
You got a call. Take your call.
Caller, thank you for waiting. You have a comment, a question?
Yes. Good morning. I'd just like to make a comment on GMOs.
Okay.
I believe that GMOs highly play a significant part of Agenda 21's population control of 500 million people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you.
Wow. Yes. Let me tell you about at the federal level. Again, this is my experience. So the Congress holds a hearing, and they call the EPA to testify. Who does the EPA send? They send in their representatives from the EPA who used to be at Monsanto. They go back and forth. If you look at who's on the the Food and Drug Administration. They move back and forth from Monsanto over here. They testify, say it's okay, there's nothing wrong, but this time they have on their federal government hat and not their Monsanto hat. And so they're the ones feeding the Congress this information. So what good does it do for us to say, well, we're going to leave it to the feds to deploy it, when they're getting misinformation also?
Well, okay, well, that leads me to another point, but that's a whole different show. But, there's something broken here, because we all rallied to get Barack Obama in as president, and then we see the disjointed behavior where, just as Tom brought up the marijuana issue, you know, we hear the liberal Democrat who so loved black people and people of color and all of that, and welcome aboard to the ark. But meantime, look at what we have going on here in these United States. You got one state and two states or three states now have decriminalized it, marijuana as an example, and it's working. But our state is saying, yeah, we could, you know, we have disproportionate number of minorities in prison and jails, but if you look at the number of arrests and imprisonment, a lot of them are related to marijuana or some use of drugs. I don't believe that the liberal Democrat is really having anything to do with reality. I think it's a party within itself that have cloaked in secrecy, privacy, and dictatorship. That's what we don't own the Democratic Party. The Democratic people, like myself, I'm a Democrat, but I don't belong to this party of this behavior. And I don't think anybody else that can really, even like yourself, Marsha, you are closely associated with them and you work with them. But in reality, do they really tell us what they're really about? Do we really have control? Look at the voting. Do we have any control in the say of how they behave?
No.
I really believe
no.
It is a party that has been captured and commandeered by people that came to town. They're fascists because everything is about money. It's nothing to do with people, the good of people, the goodwill of people, nothing. It's about, now if you want a document from us or want to understand something that we gave you a BS story on, you have to file a report and pay $600 for it. These are Democrats now, not Republicans. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little concerned, but it's, join us next hour. Tom Berg is here with me. We're going to talk about rail. I know we just change it around, and we go with the flow, right?
I'd like to go with the conclusion on, I think the theme here is not just GMO, but more down to the root cause of where is the Democrat or Republicans thereby, or we have independent and libertarian certified parties as well in Hawaii. When is Hawaii going to really get serious, Carol, about a unicameral system? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's the solution between getting party politics out of this, because whether they adhere or follow the platform, and whether we get duped thinking they will, the bottom line is a unicameral system would, you know, like Nebraska has, I think that would help us.
Well, my comments stand, and I say that the many occasions that I go to the Democratic Party, the legislators, I don't go to the party gathering. I go to those that are with a D behind their name, which has a majority of the government representation, and they treat me as if I have jaundice. It needs to change.
It does.
Yeah.
And one of the things the Republicans have that the Democrats do not have, and that is party discipline. Democrats don't have it.
You believe that as they are advancing these lies and they represent? Well, we're going to talk about it next hour. Hold that thought. But we are always letting them off the hook. The Democrat.
What
we
I'm
need
saying
to
is that so many of these people.
Hold that thought for next hour, okay?
All
right. Well, I will be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you. Tom Berg's here with me. Ow. Ooh, 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 ooh
WAI Honolulu, K108.
Hi, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. Greatest man in the story of jazz. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Mr. Duke Ellington.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half. My guest here with me in the studio is Tom Berg. And there was a call early, I'm told by the technician, Francis, is that he had a comment on the hippopotamus. If you'd like to call in, if you're still listening, please do. We'll talk or entertain your comments. But thanks for calling. And again, 524-1080. We were talking about Democrats and what have you. And I know it's a bit strong the way I my remarks, but the truth is the truth, folks. I mean, we look at what's happening with the recent voting. Now, we know what happened before, when the earlier elections, about 4 years ago. And my comments about the Democratic Party is, the Democrat Party is not misplaced. Where else, for at least 6 years, we've had President Barack Obama and his administration, and we see that wherever he goes, the first thing he does is to hang out with the veterans and or the military families and what have you. But the reality is, within his administration, we've learned, and it was prior to him as well, but it wasn't fixed, veterans not being served at the VA hospitals. So I'm not being mean-spirited or anything of that sort. It's just that we as a people that claim to be democratic and liberal and free and free-thinking, and we can separate ourselves because we care, why is it that we're struggling to get GMO people to know what they're eating and what they're spraying, what they're buying, or, you know, on and on. So let me just entertain this one call. Caller, good morning. Go ahead. You have a comment or question?
A question regarding the hippopotamus. What was the official cause of death of the hippopotamus? I didn't hear that. Thank you.
Well, my official cause that I've determined is that BS, government corruption, government cover-up, inept people that run the zoo. That's what my official, my personal one, because they claim in a necropsy that they wouldn't release to me, but they claim to other sources that they've completed and have it inconclusive. Well, that's what you do when you want to lie further to the people. You decide that the necropsy is inconclusive, like polygraphs. You know, they're inconclusive. So that leaves it hanging so you can do whatever and it gets them off the hook. But in this case, if you had a hippopotamus to die, wouldn't you go to extreme measures? Maybe there's a rare Ebola for hippopotamuses, you know, or whatever. But you wouldn't just... See, this is why I conclude that it's a big lie, because you would think, how could you rest and rely on this inconclusive? Wouldn't you be calling in people now? Because if you didn't know why died, you wouldn't dare put another one in the pond with them, and you would be concerned with the one that's remaining, or other species that are held in captivity there. So this is why I, Carol Cox, say there is big lies to be told by big people in office that we voted for. That escapes me as to being what's good about that. But anyway, we're back with Tom Berg, and hopefully that answers a call. And do us a favor. Call the mayor and tell him to come clean. I'm not going to let go, and he may now decide, like he's done in the past, go out on the attack, but I'm welcoming any conversation on this. I can stand my grounds on this one, because lies are lies. I don't care who's telling them. They're still lies. Anyways, go ahead, Tom. Tell us about the rail. I purposely invited you that to talk about the rail, because I was out there in Ever Beachside, and I saw, boy, is it moving slow, apparently, because now they got cost overruns. And
well, I've been thinking that since you and I talked, and I was going to come on your show this morning, that maybe we should all just recite Peter Finch in the movie Network. And go to our windows and say, we can't take it anymore because I'm mad as hell. And I think, I don't know if I'm more distraught with heart itself or the media. Because we're getting our information from the Star Advertiser and the major television network. Basically, that's it. And there's so much more details that the public, in my opinion, has a right to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as the media, we all are. Let me back up. Apparently, Caldwell and Abercrombie and the likes of them don't think that you and myself and others at our capacity, in our capacity, are media. They get to define. So that's another problem with these yahoos, because they define who they are to talk to, and they have special favors to others, right? But we're not, you and I are not in the mode of operating to just be able to complete a story for the 6 o'clock news, a package. We're looking for the long-term overall impact and how it affects people and the community and on, and they don't get it. But the Democrats and now the Republicans, too, they are just as guilty as many of these things.
Well, I'd like to sum it up like this, Carol. I think that all of us, when we go to the checkout line and mm-hmm. we're at the register in some store and we've piled on our goods on the conveyor belt and on it we say, here's our roads we got to have to fix and this and that and pay the electric bill and the sewer bill and how much do I have in my wallet? Well, by the time it all gets rung up, and we realize we can't afford steel mm-hmm. wheels on steel rails.
Right.
We, the people, should have a right to reevaluate this and examine just exactly what our options are. And government has played the role at the cash register saying, sorry, no refunds or returns. Even though you think you bought it, you don't have the package yet. You haven't really gone. The train hasn't left the station.
Mm-hmm.
You can't balk right now. You've come into our store. You said you're going to take this off the shelf. You can't leave without buying it. And I just don't believe that's the American way.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. But,
Carol?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the, quote, media, and we're not going to reiterate that story of what we went through with the Abercrombie administration, but when you look at the media, there are nobody, no, none of the stations or this newspaper, there are no investigative reporters. So they take whatever this administration gives us, and that's it. There is nobody saying, calling them on it. Nobody that looks deep. You just listen to them parrot whatever the administration gives them.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. city or state.
Okay. Hold on there. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking my call, and please interrupt me, stop me at any time. In terms of the rail and the article that was in the paper on Friday, August 15th, the overruns, and they said they didn't have enough contingency money, or they didn't they underestimated how much they would have. And then Bunda says, we have to scrutinize specifications. Well, amazing, because that's our taxpayer money. And Mufi on Thursday, July 15th, Mayor Confident Voters Okay Plan, and he said that the hard steel on steel track is Pono thing to do, July 15th, 2008. And again, I'll continue, but you stop me at any time. Stakeholders, public was never involved, academe very gradually, industry completely. The problem is not the process, it's the people. The problem is the process, not people. And I've been to many meetings, and Barbara Marshall, for example, August 14, 2008, Marshall proposal to create transit authority with city council oversight. And I do not believe that has happened. Ann Kobayashi has rejected as budget chairman funds for the rail, but Stanley Chang as vice chairman continues to vote for the funding of our money for the rail.
I'm gonna just jump in here.
Please do.
Yeah. Well, I just want to give you a quick heads up though. HART submits a budget. Operating and CIP budget. Two bills go before the city council, and it's been 9-0. Every single council member has approved, not withheld, one penny from HART when they come before the council in that process. And I got to throw this out there for the discussion so that when you're talking about all the, you know, the history of what's taken place in the past, I really want to talk about what's happening right now, currently, to augment on the cost overruns for the 9 stations, of which is the easiest to build, cheapest to build, in the cornfields. And if that's 75% over cost, what's it going to be like when we get to the next 3 phases? So, but point being, we are paying, because we chose to have an independent authority called Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transportation, and we all, you know, it was on the ballot, and the folks by the majority voted for it, is that we've now come to the point where the law of the land is the state of Hawaii cannot expend funds, taxpayers' funds, to hire lobbyists. The city and county, all the counties can't use any of its revenue, its monies collected from taxes, to hire lobbyists. When we created HART, we gave HART the authority to do what the city and state can't. They're taking our GET rail surcharge money and paying a man $25,000 a month for the next 3 years to acquire the federal properties, right? There's a few federal properties.
Yes.
And the point being is, when you talk about cost overruns, Grabowskis said this, the CEO of HART, is that when they hired Paragon, because they couldn't find one realtor in the state of Hawaii,
yes,
to do the property acquisition, not one realtor was qualified. He responded that, well, Paragon out in California knows how to do federal property acquisition.
Yep.
Paragon came in way over budget, and Grabowskis said, we're not going to have to tap into the contingency to pay off Paragon. Well, fast forward with now the loss, all the stuff took place and there's been a delay. They got a rush to get that property acquisition. I'm telling you that when Carol talks about investigative reporting and what's going on, is that we are double paying. We're paying a man by the name of Dennis Dwyer in the Beltway with Williams & Jensen, a lobbying firm. We're paying him $25,000 a month to do two things. One, monitor the full funding grant agreement that's already been executed. Federal government's never reneged on one in the history of the United States, but we're paying a guy $25,000 a month to monitor that. Okay, that's a done deal, but hey, okay, let's move on to the second task this man has as a lobbyist. Right now, $25,000 a month. The budget, I went on June 4th, testified before the Honolulu City Council and said, this is the most frivolous, egregious expense. I mean, you talk about emperor wears no clothes and is proud of it, and you guys blatantly paying off a lobbyist that you know you can't do.
I heard that.
So here we go. If we now, here's my point, if we currently tell the city council we're fed up, we're at the cash register, we'd like to repeal Hart, which when I was on the council, it has to pass by 2/3 vote. The vote was 5-4. We've missed by one more vote to put on the ballot to repeal Hart. It would do is successful. It could be done again, another attempt. It would put the rail back within the city and county of Honolulu's transportation with the Rapid Transit Division, and it would save us a ton of money. And now, when they want to pay off a CEO and give them bonuses and pay off Brendan Morioka and all the others out there and fleece us and bleed us to death, we would be able to hold them accountable at the in the booth when we vote. But right now, you can't touch Hart with a 10-foot pole. You can't do anything about their budget right now. So when they say, we have to pay and we need to go to the legislature and get that surcharge extended by the year 2022, the fodder of discussion should be right now, who's voting for someone to go to the state legislature to extend that GET rail surcharge and fleece us even more.
May I bring up the name Horner? When Ann Kobayashi asked the Hart Council that state, this is years ago, but that they should delay because the lawsuits hadn't gone through yet, and she said to them, well, do you want to build these? Then you're going to have to tear them down. That's taxpayer money. And Horner had a First Hawaiian said, what do you want to do? Do you want to send the boys back to the bench? The Trojan horse is the rail. And everything, in my estimation, all the costs, follow the money, because they don't have enough. They didn't sign the contracts with enough money. They don't have the money now. Can I bring up one, and that's the handy band, because it's a matter of life and death, but it deals directly with the rail. Is it okay? Okay, years ago, let's say 10 years ago, the federal grants money was 50-cent bus, 50% van, and then came the rail, so now one-third, one-third, one-third. There is something that was called, and it is now 5307, Urban Transportation Contingency Money. The rail took all of the bus and van contingency money because they had to meet the federal requirement for assets.
$1 billion, $450 million, line of credit, changing the route, raising the level of debt service, everything, Richard. It's been one bait and switch. And let me ask you something, Richard.
Yes.
Let me ask, and Carol, and this is for all your listeners.
Yes.
Are you aware that in the fine print of Hart's bylaws governing documents, it says Hart has the authority without going back to the people?
No.
They have the authority to change the technology. So we, the people, if it were on the ballot and we could say we want to change the technology, we actually can do that without losing our place in line. We'll get our federal subsidy. Everything will be as is. It may be a six-month delay to do a supplemental EIS, but my point is this. We could get rid of this noisy behemoth, obsolete technology that belongs in the Smithsonian and actually have 21st century technology, urban maglev, which has a 4-foot pillar diameter. It is half the size, smaller stations, smaller concrete, smaller blight, you name it, on the landscape. And it's half the cost to build, much less than that, less to maintain, better energy use all around, makes no noise. Now, the key here is do you know, Richard, that we here in the full funding grant agreement, in Hart's documents, we could have a different technology, sell all that rail rusting away over at Kalaeloa Harbor, and truly have something all of us, I think, could be proud of, and that would be 21st century technology that could whisk through our town at a fraction. It's $25 million to build per mile. So think about that, folks.
Richard, go ahead.
That's urban maglev.
You wet my whistles and you tease me with this handy van. You mentioned life and death. Go ahead and get to straight to that if you could.
Okay, I will do it as quickly as I can. Handy van driver saves passengers from vehicle fire. Georgette Chung saved two passengers. And Roger Morton in the article said this will never happen again. Now we've got new vans, etc. Please, I ride it 3 or 4 times vans a week. If there are 3 or 4 wheelchairs, if there are 2 or 3 walkers, and there's a fire, I can't get off that van. And when you speak with the drivers, they know that. And they will agree that the 2012, 2014 vans are very, very old. And they're still being used, yet we're told that there's a lot of new vans. There are some new vans, but it really is a matter of life and death.
So how many fires in the last...
Three.
Give me an idea. I mean, when you say one fire, I mean...
Three.
What period of time?
Okay.
And when was the incident?
Probably a year, 2 years left.
I remember.
The last one was just a couple of months ago. That's the one I'm referring to right now.
Okay, so, and then the others happened earlier?
Yes.
Okay, I was under the impression...
Earlier.
I was under the impression that it was something recent occurring, so...
Well, they've had since the first one occurred, something should have happened, but it's being ignored. They're using older vans. Just within the last couple of months, a ramp doesn't work, and so the person in the wheelchair can't get on the ramp but that person wants to go to dialysis. So they're deprived of dialysis because the ramp on the van won't work. I can give you so many instances of this. I'm at City Hall waiting to go home, and I on the way is rehab of the Pacific, but the van is an hour and a half late from City Hall, and on the van is one person. They're taking him to rehab for dialysis, and he's 2 hours late.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say, well, is this current? This is happening.
Well, no, I'm not belittling it or questioning it. It's just that there are listeners out there that like to connect the dots.
Yes.
So I don't like to confuse people with when we have at hand the person making the statement. That's why I'm asking you for clarity. It's not to leave the listener confused.
Richard and Carol, is the city's been celebrating that when in each fiscal cycle, if they've only rated the handy van and the bus $250 million, and Ann Kobayashi, chair of budget committee, says we'll only rate it by $210 million. Everybody's celebrating. I'm with you, Richard. Why are they taking the money to begin with? Well, we all know.
Let me add, I'm a handyman rider also, and the way they schedule the routes, I don't think the scheduler knows where these people are going, because from where I live, the next ridge, they go up a ridge, and then another ridge, and all the way into town. You should hear and smell the buses as these old buses with a full load try to go up Wailea Iki and Hawaii Lower Ridge. They're steep ridges, and you can, anybody, you know, it just ruins it. If you were driving your own car, it would ruin your transmission. And these old vans, you can smell them, and it's scary. And again, like he says, with a full load of wheelchairs and things, it's awful.
So let me ask you, again, we're talking rail.
Yes.
So
yes.
Did this, the vans, would they be a better fleet of them? Was the money diverted?
Yes.
Well, no, not just yes. Let me finish my question. Then the city council had to have knowledge and observe the diversion.
Yes.
They voted for it.
And in turn, so... I see, this is what leaves me gasping for air when people start talking about the rail. That's why I don't really engage in it, because we want to be careful at who we blame. Why the hell aren't we screaming bloody murder to the city council, Ann Kobayashi and others who are voting and standing by watching it? Why are we gravitating back to the rail and Grabowskis and Horner and Little Jack and Jill and all of that? Why don't we go straight to the people who vote and approve these? Why don't we pull their coattail or put a rope around their neck and snatch them out of office?
In my
something.
This is how it happened. In the city council, Nestor Garcia killed his transportation chair, magnetic levitation, rubber on concrete.
I got that. We've heard that. I'm trying to figure out why aren't the people within CFOTR and others just saying enough? I mean, how many times do we hear, and I know what you mean about that fire. I would be horrified.
Are
the brakes going out because of...
CFOTR has relinquished their responsibility, and I don't... No.
Well, no, I'm just
Carol,
asking the question.
I have help on this.
Okay.
There was a hearing. If I can, Carol, I've left my old councilman website still up and running, so folks can tune in to many of those issues that are still alive and running today, and that is this. A testifier came in on this very subject matter, and it was to approve the full funding grant agreement. It was done in December of 2012. The council approved the full funding grant agreement with the feds, all executed. And in the vote, a person came up and brought up charts and said, you know, I made color copies for everybody, but she noticed none of the council members had them. She was wondering what happened to her testimony. It was kind of an embarrassment, but she struggled anyway. She holds up this board, and she says, I have all the funds each year that are being taken. I can tell you what the name of the funds is, what the terminology is at the feds, and through the year 20, I believe she said through the year 2017, 2019, it adds up to just under $1 billion being diverted from the bus and the handy van. And the city council and the mayor willingly, knowingly knowing that when they say we're trying to restore bus service, what they're actually doing is they're feeding into a system to continue to promote this rail on many fronts. And we the public have a choice. And if you think, well, gosh, the train's left the station, we can't stop it. For everybody that's listening, Carol, the reason I came on your show today was because there is two solutions out there. With rail still advancing, you can have HART change the technology. We could ask the city council to entertain that. We can repeal HART. We can do many, many things right now at the cash register, at the checkout line, and tell government we want to reexamine this. Because if you are going to burn through $1 billion in a contingency fund and you haven't even acquired the property in town yet, we don't even know the nightmare what's to come. They went from a $70 million right-of-way for all the properties in 1 year to $90 million. In executive session, I'm hearing it's now $90 million. 2012, there's a hearing comes out, and the real property folks, the property acquisition with rail, come out, and they testify at a committee, and they say, you know what, we're at $214 million. And I said, how did you go in 1 year from $90 million to $214 million? And then they called the police on me, folks.
Yep. Can I ask you to repeat what you just said, the two reasons? One is repeal the HART.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you. In 2011, I introduced, it was voted on in December of 2011. A lot of good folks came out. They came out to Kapolei Hale. That's
yes.
Where the hearing was held. And on the table, I had put out that we should allow for the people to decide that when the initiative was put on the ballot, do you want steel wheels on steel rails? I said,
yes.
That's not good. Let's all be... you know, together on this, you know, and if we could do this right, let's have it where we pick the technology. So my bill came forward and it died 8-1. All other 8 council members don't want the public to decide new technology. Okay, that should alert everybody on these people's careers. Number two, in 2012, I said, enough is enough. This HART fiasco with where they're paying rent, you know, all that, when that was all trickling in with Ansaldo was the breaking point with me,
yep.
With Bombardier and Ansaldo. That was one of the biggest ripoffs, $241 million swing. So go to my YouTubes on my councilmanberg.com website. You'll see the woman testifying, putting it in black and white and in color bulletin board, saying here is where the money's coming from, where it's going on the handyman and bus. You got others clamoring for, guess what? If we, the public, really want to weigh in on this rail, we must repeal HART, and we can do that. Let's ask our council members when they go at their neighborhood board meetings and say, will you let us decide? I don't think HART is being very wise with our dollars. They're paying a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., which would be illegal for the state and city councils to do.
So a solution for the public and what's in their powers is to go to each and everyone's council member. Ernie Martin has his sights on the mayor's seat. Why would we let him elevate himself while leaving this issue unaddressed or let it grow on its own, morph into something else? Why don't the people out in Haleiwa and in his district, Wahiwa, in those areas, ask him? Those of you that are served by Ms. Kobayashi, those of you that are served by Kimberly Pine, and just ask them, or whatever you can do with your voice and your vote, let them know if it's truly an issue with you and you're concerned. Now, this thing, the revelations coming out with cost overruns, and we knew they were going to occur, we still got a chance. So what would you say if you were, Tom Berg, if you were to call your council right now to encourage them or try to get them to do what's right? What would you tell your council?
That please respect the process.
We got that part. I mean, okay. Specifically, okay, what cool. I want, pounding the table, I want you to do this.
Okay. When I first initiated my proposal to repeal Hart, I outlined all that, and it's available online.
I know some of the rest, I got all the languages. I got to listen.
So you want me to put it in one phrase? One phrase. If you're going to call someone up, you say, "Hey, you know what?" You'd say this: "I want to decide on Rails technology."
Right, and okay. as my city representative, mm-hmm. I want you to do what? See, everybody talks fire.
Well,
you know
what? Here's what I brought up. Everyone needs to know. Hart, in its governing documents, has the ability and authority right now to say we're scrapping the rail, steel wheel, and we're going with urban maglev.
Back
they
up,
can do it
back
tomorrow.
Up. I'm asking for a simple. If you were a citizen out there, and you haven't been there, in a capsule, what would you recommend a phrase or a simple sentence when they call their legislators or they call their city council?
The train hasn't left the station.
No, I got
we still have an option
but,
to
But
decide.
What should they, what can they ask their legislators or their city council to do? Specific.
Please don't extend the GET surcharge.
Okay.
Be accountable. Stick to what you told us. Grabowskis just 2 weeks ago before this Friday's newspaper article came out said, well, we're on budget, we're on time, everything is running smooth as silk.
Yeah, but you understand that what I'm trying to get at is that I so many times I've engaged in conversation, and everybody tell us why the problem is so fragmented. But when asked, well, what if I were to call up right now, mm-hmm. what should I tell them in a nutshell? What should I say to them that would specifically, I want you to vote and repeal Hart?
Yes. Let the people.
I want you to, you know, but you not let the people vote. This I'm saying okay. What a voter will be telling their legislator or the city council what they expect of that city council.
I'm disappointed that Hart, I think, is a runaway train, and I would like to have the rail back in the elective in the electorate, rather, that we can participate and hold someone accountable in the elections. You can't hold Hart accountable, Carol, and right. That's what needs to be conveyed here.
Right.
We, the people, should have a right to say, look, you got a blunder, a folly going here.
See, I'm thinking of a guy walking in, or a woman walking in with a walking cane or whatever, a stick or whatever, and saying, shaking his finger as his city council. It's gone too far.
Yes.
I want you to do A, B, and C. Screw what Grabowski is, what high school he went to, and all of that. This is what I want you as my legislator or my city council, Mr. Ernie Martin, Ms. Kobayashi, Ms. Kimberly Pine, Mr. Chang, all of those. That's what I'm trying to get at, because some people want to do it, but they don't know what to tell them they want. So you as repeal the GTE.
Repeal Hart.
Repeal Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The beginning.
And then another one?
The other one was to allow for the public to weigh in on the technology, because we can switch it at any time without penalty.
Yeah, because people, I when I talk to them, they say, I'm tired of all the, I got a head swollen with information. Mm-hmm. But what can I do? Nobody ever say, what can I do?
Well,
I can't.
Well, it is, because Breen Harimoto, the council member, he's chair of the Transportation Committee. He refuses, when I was a council member, he refused to do that. When they passed MAP 21, Congress and the President put into law, and they said, you know, rail is bankrupting cities across America. So mm-hmm. we're going to pass a new law that says whatever town is out there getting New Starts monies, you can abort your rail project, your steel wheels, and go with something else. And mm-hmm. they said on an elevated fixed guideway, we're going to change the definition. You could put buses on it. Breen Harimoto refused to have a public hearing to tell the people about that. So here I am on the council saying, wait a minute, why are you trying to squash information for the people? So the Ample Policy Committee couldn't even meet quorum the other week. We have such a dysfunctional, no accountability. So when they can't even get a quorum, that they may lose federal dollars, Carol, as you know, for our road construction. Mm-hmm. It's that serious, and they don't show up.
Guys, you got any comment? I got lots. I was being letting you have comment. Go ahead.
No, I have a much, much, much better indication of what I might do. I don't necessarily know exactly how to do it, but I understand the source of one. We've got to repeal Hart, and it could be done because of their own laws. and it also is possible to have a new technology rather than steel wheel on steel rail. Those are two questions I could ask and research and follow up with. So that is very beneficial for me, who's tried to follow the whole process from the beginning.
I would incorporate, as a voter, I would incorporate the term "I demand." See, this is the problem, and that we all talk about how the media failed us, But many times the advocates operate as if they're the media, and they just bring in cartloads of information, and you had a good gathering, but nobody know what the hell to do after the fact. Nobody say, well, you know, if you really, now that I've told you this long story, let me put it in a nutshell. Here's some specifics you can ask for when you contact yours. That's what's missing. And when we then, it's easy to say the media, then, well, damn, if that's the case, then I'm going to learn how to cook because I'm going to rely on the media. You know, no, I have to get the ingredients. I have to know what it is that I want to eat for dinner. And I have to get the ingredients, and then I have to move forward with that. But if we keep swelling the brains of people with facts and numbers and all of this, and then what do I do with that? Well, put it together and contact your councilman, woman.
Yeah, before this is the end, before I was listening to your program, I thought of two things. One, federal investigation, and secondly, whether it does any good, I don't know.
No, I mean, the federal one who've been slipping it to us.
Richard nailed it. The federal investigation would include this scope, Carol, is that the federal government passed a law about a year ago that you can't use federal subsidies, federal monies, to pay off lobbyists like we're doing here.
Yes.
We're doing, what the council's doing, the HART, they're using the GET rail surcharge, saying we're not breaking the law.
Yeah.
We're using your taxes locally. And so that's a farce.
Hold on one second. I will speak to that. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, I'm just going to be up front with my view. I'm pro-rail. I've been pro-rail the whole time, and with the majority of the public who has been, it's been voted on numerous times with, you know, whether it's a mayor's race, whether it's a governor's race, whether it's, you know, it's been voted on multiple times. You know, I think this gentleman that is speaking with you today.
You know his name. Let's quit. When you call up on the show, just act as a human being. We're not in politics here.
I am not the gentleman.
It's Tom Berg. You know that, and you have a bone to pick with him. Come on, just be clean about it.
I am. I'm being honest.
Well, no, just be factual.
I am factual.
Okay.
I am pro-rail. That's a fact.
We got that. We're not debating who is and who is not.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that I'm pro-rail, and my view of the people that are anti-rail is just that they're continuously trying to muddy the waters and then have, you know, people vote on it and vote on it and vote on it, or, you know, muddy the waters, muddy the waters, muddy the waters, and I think they could have.
Thanks for calling me, but, you know, when we characterize other people's comments, don't you think they have a right when they read the paper that says there's going to be cost overruns? And it's going to be different, extremely different from what we represented initially. You're being disingenuous by representing that they're wanting to change the rail. Hell no, it's nothing to do with that. They're just asking questions that where it was something was represented and presented.
That is valuable. See,
right. Well, don't call up and say they're trying to change.
Listen. Let me make my point.
You've made your point. That's what I'm speaking to.
No, I don't think I have. All along the way, I think that the people that were just absolutely anti-rail, they could have contributed a lot more. If it had been, let's build it right. Let's get it done on time. Let's get it done within budget. Let's do the right type of rail. All those questions are very, very important to ask.
Okay.
Their agenda. Their agenda was just completely to be anti-rail, and that was a disservice to the thing. And they had their right, but they've lost numerous times.
Well, right? Okay, and this is what I would say to this.
Yes.
In response to your comments. Number one, isn't it true that the revelations just come out that PRP was sleazy in all kinds of ways, and the courts they were ruled against, and then they come out with apologies, and there was sneaky behavior? When you say we voted on it, how did it get to the point of voting? All of the backroom dealings and all of that. Let's not represent that it's been voted on. It's like watching a kangaroo court operate, and it says, "Well, the court's ruled, but you don't have a right to look at it and ask the question." So anyway, I beg to differ in that.
I'm just simply saying the people that are asking the question have been against rail.
Well,
Wait. Let me interrupt you here. I wrote three bills for my boss in 2005 to bring rail forward. I actually was writing letters to the editor. I was the biggest pro-rail guy when Mufi Hanneman made his city speech after his election. I was the first one to stand up and applaud, and I got that whole city hall to applaud because I wouldn't sit down. I was so high on rail. And then as time progressed, I realized that when they say 17,000 people are going to be on the job today, what do you say to that caller that there is less than 1,000, and the same 1,000 is going to go on to phase 2, phase 3, and phase 4? There never will be, never was, 17,000 folks on the bench going to get work. You know that. 40% of the Kiewit's employees are coming from out of state. In fact, if you look at the statistics, we've hired Paragon in California to do property acquisition. We're building the rail outside. Bombardier wanted to build it here. Every decision that's gone through, from the route on down to the cost, has not been truthful. So folks that are pro-rail have a problem with being lied to. That's really, I think, why we want
to
revisit
that. Fair enough. In my view of that, the mantra should be, let's build it better, let's build it cleaner, let's clean up these things. I'm not against your sort of oversight and those kind of things. I'm not.
Okay.
But to abandon it completely would be a tremendous error. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Just because there's problems, what is the expression? Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
And I think... Right. And don't let crooked politicians lead you to a point where now you're stuck with it. You can't ask me questions how I went to Pittsburgh and had a private meeting with Bombardier to get a fundraiser. You can't ask me that anymore. You can't ask me why I appointed Bunda and all the other folks on these things. You can't ask me that. You're just against rail. You're just against... No, we're looking for honesty in government, and we can't trust a project or a program if it starts off wrong and illegal and unethical.
Okay.
We have a right when it's built around that, when the cornerstone is false.
Yep.
We have a right, and you don't have a right to characterize people because they want to say, well, you just want to stop, and you've always been against it. Maybe they're just looking at ethics.
I apologize if I've mischaracterized certain people, but there are a very strong vocal minority that have been against rail, and they would abandon it.
I agree with you.
They're still against rail. And Tom Berg, I apologize if you're just saying you're just simply being a man of principle and just expressing your opinion. I respect that. I respect even those that are against rail. But I'm just saying that, it's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's excellent, the idea of oversight, all that kind of stuff. But my point is to abandon rail at any stage from now until completion would be a tremendous...
May I ask you then, with rail going forward, let's say rail all goes forward, would you be amenable to having rail be run by your city council members so that you can hold them accountable when they say, we're going to pay a guy $300,000 a year to be your CEO of rail, and we the public, who we got teachers who can't get a 1% or maybe they got furloughs and we can't afford to pay off anybody, what's your answer to that? Would you like to see the public having a voice on this rail, or have everything shielded through heart when they say, I'm going to charge you 40, 50 times the cost of something? It's the $600 hammer, folks. It's the $1,000 toilet seat.
Okay. Well, let me answer. You're characterizing that too, I'd have to say. But here's my opinion. I don't think you want to have it as you need. I think the point of heart is to have a stable group of people whose mission it is to complete the job. And if you just have, the whims of, if you just have every time basically that you're trying to go back and forth on your council members and things, I mean, they are not necessarily experts on transportation. They are not necessarily experts on construction. They, you know, I think we do need a group of people who is all about kind of what you're talking about, is just getting it done and getting it right and not paying for $10,000.
Okay.
What happened in the Department of Defense a long time ago.
Okay. Well, that we've
happened with rail.
Stop a moment. Call it. This is a lesson for us all. If we start off with good government, honest people in government, doing the work for the people, we probably wouldn't have the kind of conversations we have, because we have city councilmen that are Nestor Garcia, his behavior, and the public is not forced and not compelled or required to accept any or all of this along the way. They have a right. It's their business. See, this is the problem. You pro-railers and you no-railers and you whatever, you think that this is your business. This is the people's business, and when you fail to educate the people and you get it by hook and crook, and then you have the audacity to say you don't have a right to ask questions now, let it be going, and you shouldn't stop it, you must be smoking marijuana sent to you from Colorado. They got some good stuff up there. Hold on for a minute.
Caller,
go ahead. Thanks for calling back.
You're all liars.
Pardon me?
You're all liars.
Okay.
Hold on.
One person at a time. I'm trying to entertain everybody. Go ahead, caller.
You talking to me?
Yes, go ahead.
Uncle Joe.
All righty. Real quick, go ahead.
He said when they built H1, H2, and H3 that it was going to get us from point to point quicker. Now they're building the rail. They're going to get us point to point quicker. It's all a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's only costing us more bucks and more bucks and more bucks. If the freeway is so free, why is it a parking lot?
Mm-hmm.
Twice a day.
Right.
Twice a day. It's a parking lot. It's not a freeway. It's a parking lot.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, thank you. Marsha, go ahead with your comment. We got four
people. Hey, voice, girl.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. We got four people on the line. So
okay, real
we're
quick.
Coming in minutes. Go ahead.
Years ago, when we first started testifying about this, and as you remember, I was working at the city council representing that in-town district, Dillingham Boulevard. So I asked at one of these public hearings, what about these little people that have had these mom-and-pop stores all along Dillingham Boulevard for generations? Now, when the land acquisition comes, Bishop Estate, or Commandment Schools as it is now, will be paid. These little people will be out of business. What about them? And they said, oh, you're right. The federal law says we pay the land owner. Nothing about those little people.
So they're people renting, say, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So when people talk about, those are the people that we, those of us that can say something, must say something.
But we got to be careful how we package it. Richard, go ahead. Thanks for holding in there. Go ahead.
The whole process was never about transportation, moving many people quickly and safely. There was an ulterior motive from the beginning. We could name all of them, Kobayashi and Kiewit and Howard Hughes and so forth. It was never about transportation, land acquisition, and profit. Just one last, where I am now, the federal investigation, wonderful. But the second is wheelchair civil disobedience, because if the other doesn't work, I don't know how it might happen, but I'm from San Francisco, and I saw what happened during civil rights. There was a San Francisco State Cal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I saw the changes that were made. So thank you so much for your bill, giving me the chance.
Richard needs to know that when the Chancellor, Gene Iwakuni, and rail was being deliberated, he says, I don't want that noisy thing on my campus. Now, all you folks that are in a wheelchair and have a physical challenge to some degree, and going to need that extra. How are you going to get to the campus? Because the rail station is on the east side of North South Road, Kuala Kai Parkway. You got a quarter of a mile to go, Richard.
Let me quickly
you can get to the campus.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Once the wheelchair comes on the train, who's going to fasten the wheelchair to the floor of the train?
This has been, you know, hey, we don't even know if we're actually going to have restrooms and all that other stuff open to the public.
And when you asked me before when I testified, Richard, do you know who is going to provide security
mm-hmm.
on the train?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He
said, no, I don't know. I don't know if it's been budgeted.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much, Mr. Berg. Thank you, Mr. Cox.
All right. What we call it, you're there, Danny?
Yes. Yeah, okay. You know what? I wanted to say to the caller that, you know, I respect people that are just simply, they get scared as far as the rail, as far as, you know, environmental. It's just, it's going to be too much, et cetera, et cetera. Here's one thing I can say, and I agree with his comment about traffic, basically, but here's my point about that. No, I lived in Tokyo, Japan for a while. And
okay, go ahead. You got
world, one of the busiest places in the world, and it's got a ton of traffic. You don't
Hello?
Have to go in the traffic because you take
Hello?
The train. And so there it is. People on the west side, they're going to have a choice. I mean, they're going to be able to have a choice.
Okay.
And that's what it's about. It's not about eliminating all traffic. It's
Where are they going to go when they with the? Okay, they're standing there at the ticket counter. And where are they going to go?
Are
they choosing? Where are they going?
That's a good point. But you know what? You got to start somewhere. And I think, you know, Tokyo, Japan would be a disgusting, awful mess without a train. It would be a disgusting, awful mess.
But you see, that's just...
It's not.
That's assuming... Wait. That's a foregone conclusion that we are the equivalent of Tokyo, Japan. First of all, Tokyo, Japan is unique in itself. Wait, stop. You. Hey, look. If you're going to call us up and you're going to share your thoughts, that's fine. But don't try to out-talk us. We got 2 hours. You can have as much time as you want to, but be respectful. God.
Go ahead.
You guys are in the still selling mode. If you rip people off and you've lied to them, this is why we see such statements like, you guys are so invested in this, you got so much emotion, that's the sign that you know factually that it was a lie from the start, it's a lie here now, and you just like you accusing
characterizing who?
Wait, just like you're attacking the pro-railers or the anti-railers and saying they're just continually and won't give up. This is called maintenance. When you tell one lie, you have to continue to tell another lie, and then you got to go on the attack. And logic, and logic doesn't get involved. And when logic is introduced, you raise your voices, even talk faster. It won't work here. This is the Carol Cox Show. If you will spend, you're more than welcome to call anytime. But let's give it the just dues. When people lie to you from the beginning, we know a lie. We know how the heart was formed. We know the public didn't participate in that. We know all of these things. So
no bidder's going to give us a discount. No bidder's going to give us a discount. They're gonna fleece us and bleed us dry because caller, when folks came and testified at Council for Rail, they said this when I asked them. They said at any cost. They're at any cost. Are you listening to that? At any cost. So cost overruns to some folks that call in this program, such as yourself, and say, "Hey, you're trying to stop the rail." No, I have a threshold. I have a wallet with only so much money in it for folks that take a position, a very selfish one, that for people who don't have the money to pay for this rail via taxes and the property taxes to come, you don't want us to have a voice?
Is it going to be, well, I don't know that it's going to be funded by property taxes, but I could be wrong, but you're probably right on that. But from what I understand, there's the GET and there's federal funding. And yes, I mean, here's what I think. Also, I wanted to say.
Yeah, we're coming down to the last minute, so no, I need a lot of thought. Just
one last thing.
Okay.
The train system in Japan isn't just Tokyo. It's all throughout.
Jesus, what's with
Japan.
You in Japan? This is Honolulu, Hawaii.
I know, but
this is
places are a lot more rural than Honolulu, Hawaii, that have good train systems. That's
okay.
All I'm saying. And
okay.
It's a plus for their society. I think it can be for ours.
To be fair, next week, whatever we're talking about, call back and share your thoughts, and I'm not going to, you know, I don't want, it's just that I'm really concerned when we're asked to ignore how heart was formed. Asked to ignore how all these shenanigans went on, and to accept everything as fact and move forward. I think that is just unfair and disrespectful to anyone. And we have a right to ask those unanswered questions. And then to the nerve of these dudes to return as candidates for governor. There? I'm down to the last second, so...
I hear you.
Thank you, Tom Berg, and
thank you for having me,
Mahalo. We just exhausted that, but we'll talk next week, and we'll talk. But feel free to call back and continue on the train to Japan and all that, but I'm just teasing you now. But honestly, feel free to call back, and this is what this is about. You can say and talk with... But all righty. Thank you guys for joining us. Aloha.
Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m.